What is going on, Sooner Nation? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Barry and Mac Show. As always, myself, Barry, personal trainer, sports performance coach out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And alongside me, former Sooner wide receiver, 2000 national champ, Mr. Damian Mackey. How are we doing today, D-Mac?
What's going on, B? Doing good. Another episode, man, getting closer to the season starting. How about this? Don't ask me why, but I was on Facebook and I saw some Missouri group. Or I don't know what else group I saw. I don't know what the group was, damn it. But they were talking about, what's the kid's name, man? Left and went to Missouri.
Okay.
No. The receiver.
Theo?
Theo Weiss talking about.
I got some good Caden Green info, though, if we want to talk about some stuff.
Whatever. With Mizzou can kiss my ass in the zoo. But how about this? Theo Weiss left OU to get better prepared for the NFL. What?
That's crazy.
He left because he was a bona fide three. That's why he left. So,
yeah.
But salute to him for having success over there. And obviously, 6'4 receivers. You know, you can find a home for those guys. Good spot. That's why the transfer portal works. But let's not, you know, and they're like, see you in November. Like, I couldn't even respond. Like, man, you guys are like lunch pail university, bro. Watch out. So,
yeah. Man, and we'll say this before we get into the promo. This is the problem. Like, this is the Missouri OU difference is like OU gets a Theo Weiss, and they're thinking CD Lamb, Hollywood Brown, D.D. Westbrook, like legitimate first round NFL type talent, because that's what you expect. And he's a solid player, man. I think Farouk is better than Theo Weiss. Like,
there's an animal they have for guys like Theo Weiss. You know what that animal's called?
What was it called?
It's called a jag. That's what it's called. it's called a jag. That's what it's called.
Oh my gosh.
Just a guy. That's what he was. Just a tall guy. That's what he was at OU. So salute to him for
a jack guy.
they're gonna make me cuss. Like, come on, man. Theo was like, hey man, we appreciate your efforts, but bro, he wasn't doing anything at OU.
Oh my gosh. Well, before we get kicked off OU Insider, let's give them some shouts. Go to OUinsider.com. Team news, notes, recruiting, everything. Brandon and Parker do a phenomenal job over there. And we used to. So I'm just playing. So just want to give a salute to them, all the stuff they're doing. If you guys are not following their fall camp coverage, I'll say it's the best coverage, bar none, on the internet, in the OU sort of team info sphere that we all live in, that we're all consuming right now as the season is upon us, man. It is right around the corner. We're talking like weeks, and it is here. OU's it's going to be an interesting season. And tonight, D-Mac, as it starts storming here in Tulsa, tonight, yeah, man, it's coming down pretty good. We're going to be talking about really the area of the team where we did cover backers, right? We've talked about receiver. This is another area where fans and the pundits, and it sounds like even the coaches from some of the stuff you've heard, that this might be the best, deepest group. And I'm not just talking about a safety, not just talking about a corner, but the entire defensive backfield as a whole might be the best group they've rolled out there in at least a decade. And now it's on paper, right? Some of the guys have shown up and shown out a little bit. You know, Peyton Bowen has some flashes a year ago. Billy Bowman, of course, has been a solid player for Oklahoma, but I think fans do want to see that next step. Guys like Woody Washington have been mainstays. He elected to return to forego the NFL draft and try and put some more film, some more good quality film out there for NFL scouts. He's a guy who he was a highly recruited player and just hasn't quite nailed down what the NFL people are looking for. And maybe even as this year comes, maybe a position shift might also do him some good, depending on where guys, you know, kind of end up stacking up as they get closer to the season. Of course, be remiss to not mention Gentry Williams, who last year, I think, really put the country on notice, you know, to take away some of the injury issues. He's one of the best athletes at quarterback, if not in the Big 12 last year, for sure, really in the country. He has all the measurables that you want. He's a guy who NFL scouts certainly looking at. He's a guy who he's going to go test well at the combine. He's going to look the part. Whenever you know, he looks like the typical LSU corner. He's long. He's built really well. He's thick in his upper half. He's not going to get beat around. He's a guy who just kind of holds weight really well. Is very solid, very dense, but extremely explosive out of his stance. Very, very quick twitch with the hips, right? He gets in and out of his hips extremely well. And we're going to dive into it. But first, I want to get your take on just what should fans expect the level of play with this position group this year? I think there was some very high moments a year ago, right? Especially early on in the year. You know, later on, certainly had their struggles. We saw guys like Key Lawrence, who's no longer with the team, just couldn't cut it. He had struggles. Woody at times got replaced for a longer, more athletic player at that position. So just looking at what the potential is of this group, DMAC, and where you think they could be heading in their first year in the SEC, how do you see these guys stacking up against the other programs?
Yeah, I think the first thing I want to address is us versus us. And I mean this, and I bet you people who just started listening to us are like, man, he blows a lot of smoke. He's crimson colored glasses. I'm not. I think this is the most talent we've had in the secondary in 20 years. I mean, like literally going back to the 03, 04 Sooners where they had Stray and Perk and Brodney and it's just really good players. I mean, you got an All-American coming back at safety. You got a freshman that everybody said is better than the All-American. And by the way, he was the best tackling alley defender we had. When we missed him for a couple of weeks, it was definite. You could see the difference when Peyton wasn't there. You got a 5-year off and on starter at corner who's probably the least athletic. When you're talking about length on the outside, and you bring up guys like Gentry, you didn't even bring this guy up, but Kenai Walker, right? He's a legitimate 6'3", 4'4", dude who, right, is a solid player. You got Jacoby. You got a pup coming up, which we'll address here in a minute. You know, there is legitimate NFL talent in the secondary. Like our defensive secondary is going to get rated the next couple of season for NFL dudes. Generally how it works though, Barry, is the first year, Billy's a guy, if he has the year that he can has, and he tests like he can test because of the way the game is played now, the Minka Fitzpatrick kind of a, you don't have to be 6'2", 220, you know what I mean? So he's a guy who could be a round one, round two type guy, but the Jacoby's, you know, the Gentry's, it's assuming he stays healthy and is here back again next year. And then the guys coming up, they're just going to get the inflation, which is OU has DBs again, and guys are going to be able to get plucked to the NFL because, you know, I saw it last year and I was just like, we're long. You know, I just was, you know, just looking at the cornerback room and I'm like, we're long. And then I'm watching, you know, I was hearing all things about Kanai's kind of in his own head and Gentry's a pup. We don't know what he's really got, but he, you know, he's kind of got some skills. These guys have played a full season under their belt. Jacoby is a guy 6'2", 200 pounds, playing corner, long armed, right? We got the kid, the Malone kid, transferred in. He's a stocky. He's a longer kid. We don't just have like one dude who looks the part, and then the other 5'11", you know, 185 pound guys. We've got a cachet. We've got a lot of those guys. So when I look at the unit, the thing that excites me is we have versatility, we have length, We have speed and we have physicality. Like, we check all four of those boxes. We have the depth to say if Kanai is not having a good week, or if Gentry's shoulders, like, is, you know, he's got an injury or something, we're not putting in a 5'10", 182 pound dude, you know what I'm saying? And hoping he can stand up against, you know, Tennessee or, you know, LSU, one of those guys who, you know, are going to throw out some receivers that can go get it. There's another guy. Right. When we look at the depth chart itself, there actually are multiple players who have, you know, the skill sets you want to be successful at the cornerback position. Same thing goes for safety. Low key, I wouldn't say my favorite, but I just have a soft spot for RSJ because he's a damn good player. By the way, he was a damn good player 2 years ago. And we were like, that freshman, it was Kip.
Yep.
And it was Spears Jennings, was right? RSJ, we're like, both of those guys were like, there's something, they're ball players. He's 2 years further along in the process. He looks the part. He has the body. Again, he's physical. He's coming downhill when he has to banana. He knows how to carry when he's underneath coverage. He knows how to stay on top of receivers he plays really sound football if you watch the angles from a safety position. So I look at the group as a whole. I believe, just think about it. Like, how many years, like decades, it's been a couple of decades. Even when we had a really good corner, right, we didn't have two. Or maybe we had good corners, but our safeties were like, they can't even catch an interception if it's a punt thrown right at them, right? Like, they got a breadbasket, yeah. They drop it, right? Like, or it's like, we got four dudes, but if any of them get hurt, the secondary guys, or I guess I should say the backups, that's kind of a bad word to use in the secondary, but the backups, you know, they're Jags. We don't have any of those issues as of now. Those guys have to prove it on the field. Fall camp is an opportunity to do so. We've got some young pups emerging, names that people are throwing out and saying, man, these guys are coming in and turning heads as well. That's the kind of, if you remember when we first started this pod, I said, man, one thing I know about BV is he wants to create competitive competition. And that's what it's all about, right? You've got multiple guys at multiple positions who they pass the eyeball test. They're team guys. They're physical guys and they're smart ball players. That's when you're going to get that competitive competition. That's going to create championship culture, not throwing that word out just yet. But when you look at the ingredients and you talk about the areas we've discussed, and we've got a couple more to go out there. We got tight ends and specials after this episode. Guys, I'm just telling you, I'm going to screenshot my $1,000 bet that says over under 7.5. I just think it's the easiest. I think it's the easiest $1,000 I'll make this year. And I got to tell you, well, let me not say that. But I think it's going to be if we stay healthy, quarterback is, you know, we obviously you're hearing things about quarterback, but we're in really good shape. We've got a lot of versatility, a lot of depth, speed at a lot of positions. But when you talk about secondary, it could be the deepest, most talented position group on the team. It has an argument of saying we are the number one position group, good position to be in.
Yeah, you know, a year ago, it feels like everybody was pretty high on Josiah Wagner. Remember when he came in and everybody, and it tells you something that I don't think any of that, because we saw him play in season. I don't think any of that was smoke or hyperbole. He was obviously a young player. But what they did in a recruiting cycle or two was elevate the kind of player that they're going after, D-Mac. You went from Josiah Wagner being a guy who comes to campus and looks like he's going to give you really good snaps in a year or two, and then you go in this next class and you bring in a Jacoby in this class, in that class a Jacoby as well, a Makari Vickers, and then you've also got in this upcoming one a Jaden Hardy, a guy like a Reggie Powers, we discussed him a little bit pre-show. I think he's a guy who could sneak in there, even with the level of depth and experience. I don't think he plays meaningful SEC snaps unless there's an injury. But I think early on in the year, he's a guy in kind of the preseason, in the non-con, he's going to get some action. To me, he looks the part already. He's extremely explosive. He's a guy who's going to knock your head off. And that was the thing. I want to touch a little bit on RSJ and then carry this out to really the group as a whole and talk a little bit about just recruiting in general and why I think the position has elevated so much in just a very short span of time. And it has to do with philosophy of how you're evaluating guys. But RSJ was a guy who initial recruiting cycle, right? I think he was that first class for Coach Venables. Yeah. He needed work. He needed a couple seasons. As you said, the football stuff, Venables recruiting football players, guys who know the game. You could see he was very natural with understanding angles, right? Especially, I remember a play specifically mid-season that first year where it's an opportunity to just that you have two options. You either take a straight line to the offensive player and he outruns you, or you take the angle, you do the proper thing, and he did the proper thing. And it was that kind of stuff that showed up on film, very similar to the things that you saw with Kip. I just think there's more depth in the DB room, which makes it more competitive. I think Kip stands out, especially now that he said he is up to 225. Do you hear that, by the way?
Come on, man. I am driving the Kip. I ain't even on the bandwagon. I said it Texas 2 years ago. So, Kip's my guy, man. In fact, I got to go meet him, shake his hand and say, hey, bro, go make me true. You know what I'm saying? Don't have me out here looking bad because I see a lot in you. Nah, Kip. Everything we expected of him. You said it, bro. You talked about development. You talked about creating a program and having guys 2-3 years develop into the guys who are going to be, you know, the war daddies for the program. I mean, the kid had everything except for size last year. So if he's up to, he's in the 220s, that's all you need in the SEC.
That's all you need.
If you lay that hat on folk, that's all you need. So.
Yeah. Especially with the length, but man, the thing, and if you're on the board, I've talked about this a lot, or if you follow me on X, one of the things that I think Venables, that is, it's so duh, right? It's one of those is like, duh, that those are your best, those are the players you should target. But OU made a concerted effort that if you play defensive back, you've got to check the box as a good offensive player in high school. The best defensive backs are guys who, especially as you want to like play at that elite level, the chance to go make money in the NFL, you have to be an elite level athlete, which is a guy who isn't just good at reacting, isn't just good at nailing down the technique and doing all those things, playing the game. But if you want to be a team that can compete in a national championship against the best of the best and not be outdated, right? Just the other team just got more guys than you. You've got to really put a fine point on what you're looking for. And one of the things they do it at linebacker too now, is that if you're going to play defensive back at Oklahoma, you're going to almost for sure be good on both sides of the ball in high school. Gentry was that way. You had Jacoby was that way. Multiple guys coming in at this point, Jaden Hardy, like so many guys who have been brought in. And even in this coming recruiting class, I mean, even more so, they're all excellent players on both sides of the ball. And it's just those skills. It's the skill to play defensive back. And it's the other thing to just not have it be a novel experience when the ball's in the air and you got to catch a pass and then you want to do something with it. Right. What made a guy like Antonio Perkins special when he made an interception? What made a guy, you know, like a Derek Strait special?
Ace Colvin's
a great example.
Those guys are offensive players too, and they knew what to do with the rock when they got it in their hands.
Absolutely. So I transitioned this to say, and you played defensive back in high school, recruited as a defensive back initially to Oklahoma.
I was.
When it comes to development at that position, and I really want to talk, this is more in the vein of a guy like Makari a year ago who had some really, really, really bright moments.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma State comes to mind. By the way, there was the PI that should not have been that was him. Just absurd. But in that game, kind of a microcosm of the season, he had some really, really bright, shining moments and then just some you know, some fudge ups, man, where you just can't, and you can't have it back because it's just, it's done. Talk a little bit about what that development looks like for a defensive back when you're, especially the stark contrast of playing in high school where you might have one guy who your ace on that team, you know, probably a guy like yourself, Roy, is going to be dealing with. But now you go and everybody on the other team can move. Yeah. Everybody in practice can scoot, right? You're having to deal with getting beat on this play, but then having to get that psyche up to win the next rep. Talk a little bit about what that looks like on a day-to-day basis when, I mean, you might lose three reps in a row against a receiving core like this. How do you come back from that and deal with that just on a day-to-day pragmatic standpoint in practice?
Well, so a couple of things to consider. I'm gonna jog around your point, and I'm gonna nail it. I think, you know, competition breeds success. So I mean, you know, we're dinosaurs, right? I literally played in the 1900s. You know what I'm saying? I literally played in the 1900s. There wasn't a DB on the team who didn't get their ass whooped every Tuesday or Wednesday. And we had all Americans and we had whatever, right? Thorpe winners, this and that. I'm so I guess what I mean by that is like when you know you're playing against very talented individuals, you know, you're gonna win some, you're gonna lose some. And just speaking to your point about practice, if you're consistently kicking the, you know, the DB's asses as a receiver and you're not Marvin Harrison Jr., you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Then that's an issue on that side of the ball. So I just want to first say that. Not to mention, receivers know exactly where the ball is going. DBs have to react. If you're worth your weight in salt, there's going to be a time where you can wiggle on a DB. And if you beat half a man and you've got the right, if you've guessed the right route, you've got him where you want him to be, you know, you can get the separation you need. So that part is that part. Our DBs, I feel like it's a renaissance because for so long we have had to depend on a scheme to create advantages or more importantly to mask our disadvantages. Actually is even a better way to say it. You know, 2 years ago it pissed me off. Like, why are we in all these damn big zones? But then you got David, you at backer, and then you got, you know, White at cheetah. You know what I'm saying? And then you've got the kid that transferred out to Miami. I forgot his name, but the first play of the game, Worthy, takes him to the house. 80 yards. Takes him to the house. First play of the game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you just can't risk, right? DB is a position where the first thing you can't do is give up a big play. The first thing you can't do is let a guy get behind you. First thing you can't do is let a guy get outside of you, right? Those three fundamentals are the basis of playing the position. And so, like you said, when I'm a 5'11", 180-pound corner going against a 6'3", 212-pound receiver who can jump, run, and is agile, the defense, we just can't risk putting you on an island, putting you in a position where you're man V, putting you in a position, right, where you're swallowing up space, swallowing up grass, and if he beats you at the line, it's a wrap. Well, our DBs this year will be versatile enough to play coverage, play mix, play man and play bump. And so listen, they hopefully right now, and this is around the time in camp, Barry, we talked about this when we talked about our pod last year when we really went into camp. Remember that? And by the way, on the board, I don't know if you saw that, I tagged you. People were asking questions. And I said, hey, maybe Barry will queue up the pod when we talked about fall camp.
Look at that.
Yeah, but there was a lot of conversation about it on the board. But this is the time in camp, Barry, where the starters, the 1As, the 1Bs, the 2s are starting to say, like, let me give you some examples. Perk was a guy, he found out in fall camp he couldn't bump. Go back and watch film. Perk didn't bump. But Perk was a guy who had played receiver and had such quick feet, he could play 5 to 7 off and mirror you and jump your route and beat him. And see how long you stay behind him. Perk will go get you, right? He's a 4.3 guy, 40-inch vertical guy. Came in as a freshman, jumped 39.5. And so Perk got that at fall camp. right? You try the DB at bump. You try the DB in zone. You seven on Skelly. You're running zone all one day. We're going to run five. We're going to run two. We're going to run two high, right? We're going to rob. And you see what your guys can do. And what that starts to do is it starts to make the makeup of what your coverage and umbrella will look like for that season. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a ton of robbers this year because RSJ is great going forward. Mm-hmm. Bowen's great going forward, right? Billy's a guy who's really good going back, right? Playing over the top, and he can go and cover up some posts, some fades, and some seam routes and get on top of those plays. By the way, a name we didn't bring up yet, Boganowski, is a kid who is turning heads. By the way, he will not, let me use Mangino's, sorry, coach, if you hear this, but he'll knock your dick in the dirt. That was a man. We used to love a man. Gino say that. God damn it, knock their dicks in the dirt. We should be like, coach, how do you do that? How does one do that? How do you pull that off? Yeah. Sorry, coach. But you know, you look at these guys, and again, I know I sound like a you know, I'm a parrot, but I'm repeating the fact that the versatility is there. So let me get back to your point. When you have the talent to play man, then the fear in the offense now says when they disguise coverage, right, it could be man. For years, I would watch us disguise coverage like, man, we ain't playing man. Watch out. Jaden Davis is out there playing field corner. There's no way in heaven he's guarding that 6'5 receiver from Iowa State. They had like three of them for like 5 years in a row. There's no way in heaven he's guarding Worthy. We already saw Worthy cook him. You know what I'm saying? So even if we're doing kind of disguising or rolling in the zone, you know what I'm saying? Like the receiver's like, nah, yeah, bro, so that dude can't cover me. He's got help over the top. There's a backer, yeah, you know what I'm saying, buzzing. And so, you know, now quarterbacks are going to have a little bit more to think about, right? Kanai is 6'2.5". Jacoby is 6'2", right? Gentry is 6'1.5". Again, Woody, whatever what he lacks in athleticism, which I don't want to take anything away from him, I think he's a guy who could play on Sundays for 10 years if he's a nickel.
Yeah.
I said it 5 years ago when he was a freshman and they had him at that safety, and I think it was the LSU game. I don't remember who it was, but he was a guy who was, he was playing high and he would come down into the box late and he played well in that role. I think that's a role that he can find some home cooking in the NFL versus if he's guarding Jamar Chase or if he's guarding Jefferson or if he's guarding CD or he's guarding Ayuk or guarding Tyreek. Yeah, bro. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get you a GA position over here at OU. But I think in that nickel, he's got help on top. He's a very heady, smart, physical guy. But to have him be your one, and then if for some reason it doesn't work out, you've got guys that can just step into that position and you can bump him inside to a nickel type or bump him into a safety type if you need to. I expect here's why I say all that to say, let me step off my soapbox. I expect us to run man and put offenses in a position where pre-snap, they can't run junk against us. Right. Mm-hmm. Where you know, you're overloading the side and you run a, you know, a deep corner, an arrow route, and then a slant sit where you're really exposed in an area, you're over, you know, or you run two levels and then a level the opposite way. You kill that stuff when at the line of scrimmage, you don't let receivers get into their route. You've got some type of pressure coming. The quarterback, it's a timing throw and the timing's messed up because you're having some physicality at the line of scrimmage. I would be extremely disappointed if this year I saw us run a bunch of big zone and didn't allow ourselves to leverage these DBs. You brought up an example, but the best example is LSU. And then go watch Georgia and Alabama when they need to. Go watch Baker's senior year when we play Georgia and we're up, I think, 17 going into the half. And then they kick that 50-yard field goal because we try to squib. And I think we're only up 14 in the second half of the game. Go watch how they play coverage. They say, hey, dude, we're going to win with our backers playing in space and our corners covering up everybody. The only guy who was still cooking was CD. Aside from that, it was a totally different ball game. And we have the resources to do that this year. I want to listen, the Mizzou's of the world, they can't compete with us if we play that style of defense. Not every play, right? Because people run enough action behind the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of things to combat that now. But on third down, third and sixes, and things of that nature where the
your
quarterback
money downs, yeah.
Yeah, there isn't just – I hate when we're in coverage and you can just see the weakness pre-snap. Like, oh, man, if they run – and they run the play, of course.
Well, because they see the it too. Yeah, 100%.
Course, right? Yeah, so being able to do that I would say the first time in two decades, Barry. I can't think of one secondary, and maybe I'm missing one. I'm sure somebody will correct me. I haven't checked the comments, and I've been really busy with business.
Man, but 2013 was pretty good.
Give me the names.
That would have been Colvin, Sanchez.
He was the best. No, Sanchez is a dude who was opportunistic, who could catch an interception and then get cooked.
But that's times. I mean, that's it though. That's what I'm saying. I think that's the point. I think you had Tony Jefferson on one a couple years prior, but he was the only guy really on. I think he had some overlap with Colvin. I could be wrong on that.
That thing they did.
But yeah, outside of that, but the last time that you had a guy at every spot, two guys really at every spot. And this kind of segues into my next point with some of the youngsters. You know, Jaden Hardy was a guy in the spring game who I actually thought played really well.
Yeah, you
at
said that
corner. But I mean, you really do have to go back to when OU was, I guess, maybe 2008 when they played Florida, and you had a Reggie Smith and Nick Harris. I'm trying to think who else, but even that wasn't competing with, you know, Derek Straight-Thorpe, average All-American guy. Right.
Perk,
just
NFL dude.
Perk. Yeah. So it's just a different level of player. And OU has seen that when they, as you, to your point, when you go play at Georgia and they can say, we'll let CD win because he can't win every play. Right. You got to give the ball to somebody else at some point. We'll let CD win, but we're going to take away all these other options. Right. You had a dude who could take away, who could just out physical Hollywood. And they knew how to play that well enough in the second half. But I want to ask you a guy who you brought up pre-show, and maybe I don't know if we're breaking any news here or anything, but certainly a guy who you said has been talked about quite a bit, and brother to another stud on the team who people think, and I want to talk about him in our specials episode, because I think some of the things that I have said about him, well, when you evaluate the film and what he did in high school, very Antonio Perkins like in the return game, and we'll talk about him in that episode.
I think that's a good comp.
But talk about Eli Bowen a little bit and some of the things you see. Because let me be not the devil's advocate, but just kind of the skeptical fan, real quick. You see the height on paper, you see the weight on paper. He's not an extremely big guy, right? In the film, a lot of people said, I think he was rated a 3, maybe low 4-star prospect.
I think he was a, what's the name of the term where they can, the conglomerate of all of them, but I think he's ended as a 3-star. I think one publication bumped him to 4, but I think his overall grade was a 3-star.
So it kind of gives you the idea, right? Doesn't have the on paper length, right? Or the explosiveness or the speed. Who knows how he's developed, man? Some guys I was listening to, something the other day, and they were bringing up just how certain players really adapt well and take well to training very quickly, and like novel stimulus, if they haven't had it in high school, you don't know what they're going to look like. And you might have guys, I'm sure you saw it, who like they come to the campus, you know, in your case it's summer, right? Or some guys in spring, and by fall or the end of the year, they look like a different human, right? That's not everybody, but it's a handful of players every year who really take to the training. They get more physical. They get a lot faster and much quicker. So we don't know if that's happened or if he just walked out being a ball player. But talk a little bit about Eli Bowen and some of the things you're hearing or people have kind of hinted at in terms of his skill and ability. And then anything on anybody else who maybe you see being an under the radar, like a Boganowski, right? Who's, wouldn't say under the radar, but certainly a guy who you have guys ahead of him, man. So give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I see Eli is 11-1 in the 100, which I ran 11-1 as a sophomore. He ran that his senior year, 21 and long, which is, by the way, that's a good That's a good sign of explosion. 21's not a bad jump, but again, he's from what I hear, and I mean, you watch the film, you don't even need to hear. The kid's a ball player, and the game, the way the game is played anymore, it's all about people making their fast physical decisions in space. And so, being a 5'9", 185-pound pounder, I don't think he's an every down outside DB, but there is a place in any defense for a specials DB, whether it's a nickel or a six pack or a dime or the cheetah, right? A small cheetah, whatever, who can go out and be disruptive, who can go out and sniff things out, right? That player is the one. If it's play side and you've got screen, right, you're reading guard. If receivers stay tight, you're seeing what the guard is doing. If the guard's going upfield, you think run. If the guard is staying at the line of scrimmage, you think pass. And right, so there's just different keys that safety's watching, and I just consistently hear that he's a step faster. So regardless to what he runs in the 100, which they say they ran 11.18, he's faster instinctually when the play starts. I feel like BV says something along the lines of he could even help them outside. And I just think there's something to guys who understand the position, understand the game. If he's one of those guys, I promise you, I don't want him to be an every down starter on the outside. But it's also good to know that you have a guy in a pickle, or they invert. You know what I mean? They kind of put their studs on the slots, and then they invert and put the secondary guys outside, and he's outside, and he's got, he's in a position where it's a pre-snap man. We're following guys. He's a guy who's not going to be an eyesore or, a detriment to the defense in that regard. But here's the thing. Thank you, Jesus. We're not depending on him to be a focal point of the defense this year. Also, thank you, Jesus. He's a guy where if we had to plug and play, you've got a ball player who can go into the mix. You know what I mean? You're in a 5 DB set and you throw him in there against Texas or against LSU or against Tennessee because some skill set he possesses is better than a Willie Backer or better than a Cheetah, the big, Dolby or McCullough. But all of a sudden, he's sniffing out, under routes. He's sniffing out over routes, right? He's sniffing out play side or backside screens, bubbles, slips, the whole thing. Those guys are, I don't want to throw the name out there that everybody knows is probably the best small guy safety playing in that arena, and that was the Honey Badger. But you made a comp that I'm like, huh, that might not be a bad comp, which is Brandon Shelby. Brandon Shelby was a listen, he was playing behind Roy,
And he
but
was
you talk
spot duty, right? He wasn't an every down kind of player, if I remember right.
about his senior year when so Roy left 01 and 02. So Shelby played the Roy back position. So when we went, because when Roy was there, we were a nickel every position because
Okay, sure.
Roy was really the Willie, right? And
Yeah.
so when Roy left, we played a true 43 and Clint came in as a Sam backer. But
Got it.
when it was a down and distance situation, then you would have Shelby come in and be the Roy back. He just played the position Roy played. They just didn't run it every down because Shelby couldn't do all the things Roy could do. But always had help over the top. He could carry, by the way, Shelby was phenomenal carrying corner routes, carrying seam routes, carrying over routes. Shelby would see it, turn around and run with it. Again, from what I'm hearing and what I think BV has been saying publicly, even is that the kids come out and shown a lot of promise in that arena. And then the other guy is the guy I brought up earlier, is Bogdanowski, is a kid who playing downhill. He is going to be a problem at safety in Oklahoma in the next season and a half. I don't know if it's this season because he, but Billy Bowman leaves next year, and I think Spears Jennings a senior next year. So Billy Bowman leaves after this season. I think RSJ is a senior next season. But we're okay between Boggs and Bowen and some of, like you said, Hardy and some of the guys we got coming up. We're in position to keep that safety room full of guys. Again, Bog is 6'2" and a half, 215 pounds, and he gonna go out there and knock your head off if he has an opportunity to do so. And then of course you got Bowen, who's your proverbial, free safety who can do everything. So salute to little Bowen. I Barry, I think the juice isn't going to be worth the squeeze. I think he's a guy. Let me tell you, and this is kind of a tangent, but I think people appreciate this. I'm in leadership training, in my business, right? So I own an insurance agency, and I was being developed by one of the very best in the industry. I mean, dude sold his business for $300 million last year. And he said, Mackie, on your team, within your organization, you're going to have a Michael Jordan. You're going to have a Vince Carter, and you're going to have a Tracy McGrady. And I was like, okay, where's he going with this? And then obviously, right, Michael Jordan's the GOAT. By the way, I don't, for all you Gen Z or whatever, it's like stats ain't it. You know what I'm saying? Stats is a big part, but everybody plays sports to win. Just FYI, in case you forgot, because everyone wants to look at some all these next gen stats. I just want you guys to understand. I'd rather have four catches for 19 yards and win the game than have 19 catches for 200 yards and lose the natty. Just FYI. But back to the analogy, Michael Jordan is your guy, and you always have to make sure you take care of Michael Jordan. You got to take care of Michael Jordan. That's why Michael Jordan gets preferential treatment. And then you've got Vince Carter. And Vince Carter's the guy that if Michael Jordan starts to slip, you got to edify Vince, because Vince can jump like Mike. Vince can shoot like Mike sometimes, right? Vince is a guy who has the measurables of Mike, right? So you use Vince. Does that make sense? To get Mike to move. And then you got Tracy McGrady, which, by the way, I feel like it's a bad comp, but Tracy McGrady is the guy that becomes a sacrificial lamb for either Mike or VC. So, right, if Mike
He
and
was a
or
good player,
VC,
man.
I know.
Golly, man.
But it's interesting because the thing was, Tracy McGrady was also little cuz. Eli Bowen is little bro. And so what Eli Bowen is able to do, or what I think BV is able to do with him, is saying, hey guys, if you guys slip up, right, if you guys aren't taking care of business, there's enough depth and some new blood in here that right, this puppy can come in here and take one of you guys' jobs. He's hungry. And so I think he's more so being used, not even as a Vince Carter, but probably as a Tracy McGrady in this scenario, where they're publicizing his name so that the Spears Jennings, or so that the Bowen, the big Bowens, or so Billy, whoever it is, stays very sharp. But like the analogy says, Tracy McGrady didn't grow up to be bad. I mean, he's arguably the best two, three, one of the two or three, two threes of all time. So having the ability to do that, I mean, it's just like I told you about the O line. There just hasn't been a year where we could say, oh yeah, the O line underperformed this summer. We couldn't, because they had a low ceiling, right? Again, it was the 04, 08 teams where they were like, oh, they had a terrible summer because they had four All-Americans and NFL dudes on those lines. You gotta do the opposite, right? This is a crew where if these guys keep their head on straight, they stay healthy. They've got good coaching, right? And I think they got the proper pieces in place now to get guys to do what they need to do. This can be a like top two or three position group in the SEC. All right. And so it'll be interesting to see. It's just salute to little Eli. If he just is a little flash in the pan, for the second week of August and got some love, hopefully that edification will help him prepare for his second season as a Sooner.
It's always tough to measure as well, because you got to be able to, and you know this with what you did. You will have guys come out there and for a stint look really good. Right, you might have a 2-3 week period where they're just everything's kind of falling, everything's kind of clicking. You'll see that throughout a season as well. A guy start off the year, maybe game two through game four looks really good, but just doesn't have the thing that is necessary to be consistent the entire year. And a lot of time that is just God-given ability. It's staying in the right mindset throughout the season. There's a lot of psychology to that, and being able to have that. But I think the biggest piece and the biggest part of why this group can have success is, as you put it, it's the competitive aspect. It's being able to roll multiple guys out there at different positions, who aren't just try hard players, who just that they're not near as good as the guy who's starting ahead of them. And I think Sooner fans saw that for so many years, that to see a team where every position you got guys who just look the part and can play the part. Now you've got to see it happen. You've got to see it come to fruition. And I think this is a team who, I think on paper, they have the potential, depending on how BV and Ali decide to deploy the defense and what they choose to do. And also depending on how OU plays offensively, you could have one of the better pass defenses numerically from a stat standpoint in the SEC. Probably not going to rank high nationally with some of the guys who I think they'll be up there, but some of the other, the Big Ten schools always seem to kind of take those. Michigan's always a team just by the nature of the kind of football they play up north.
Penn State,
Iowa. Yeah, Iowa. Yeah, it's always a tough thing to measure that, but I do think they can be pretty good because OU at pass defense a year ago was not horrible. They just had moments and matchups where things just were not in their favor, right? Iowa State, there was a handful of plays in that game early on where a guy just makes, you know, one mistake and it's to the house. So,
Billy Bowman chasing picks. Remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they talked about that too, or somebody said something about that where him and Key Lawrence had something going on in that.
Oh,
and
they,
they were.
Did. They did. They were having a competition of who could get the most. They absolutely did.
Yeah, which got it, as you said, man, just got to win the game. Because it's something like that, man, momentum goes wrong. It's good to have those battles within the game, but, man, you got to be very careful. That stuff gets real dicey real quick. But one thing that doesn't get dicey, it's the Barry and Mac Show on OU Insider. Hope you all enjoyed this one today. As we said, we're going to be talking tight ends and specials in the next episode. Diving into what OU has at tight end, and it sounds like, not to tease it too much, DMAC, sounds like there's some guys in that room for a change. It sounds like there are some players who, for sure, the blocking's getting improved. Pass game is going to be better. Sounds like there might be some guys in there. And special teams, I think that's just going to be an interesting discussion all the way around because, for me, return game is going to be fascinating. Seeing what OU does kicking punts this coming season, especially in the SEC, where field position in some of these games is going to be crucial. You're going to have games decided by a touchdown or less, a lot of those, and hopefully not so many. But it's going to be interesting. DMAC, as always, closing thoughts before we get out of here today, man.
I actually have a question for you.
Go ahead.
There's a little bit of variety here. Who's your starting 2D? Second DB
Ooh,
and safety.
Oh, you know, in the secondary? That's a good question to close it out. I think Gentry is gonna play the field.
Hey, Palmer, pause. I don't want you to tell me who you think they are gonna choose as their starters. Tell me who you want to be your starters.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Yeah.
Gentry at the first corner spot.
For sure.
Kenai Walker at the other corner spot.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think Woody could be. It's so. The issue is you have two guys at safety in Bowman and Bowen who are extremely explosive, and that keeps a guy like Woody always kind of at a disadvantage to overtake that. Where in spot duty at safety, man, he's looked good. At that nickel spot, he's looked good. I'm surprised he hasn't been a guy who's gotten a look at Cheetah, who could play the deep Cheetah, who can, to me, he seems like a player who could do that, who obviously knows the defense. You know, he's a very educated.
Why do you think that is? Do you want to process that? I mean, I know we're getting ready in the call, but you can process. I think I know why that is. Do you want to process it or do you want to leave it alone?
I don't want to. I think Woody is a very good player for what he has been for Oklahoma. So I just don't think he is a guy who, I don't think he's going to be an NFL player. I think it's going to take him really being concerted and intentional with the team that he ends up with when he signs as an undrafted free agent.
Damn, my boy buried me. Blocka, blocka, blocka. He's shooting. Damn, he can't sign. He can't go in the fifth round, bro, man.
We'll see. We'll see. So here's the problem. The problem is the film against elite talent. And in the SEC, you're going to see a bunch of that. I think OU, to their sort of discredit, I think they left him overexposed at times. And I think he is a guy who actually plays really well when he does have help. But if he is on the island, I think he is going to struggle. Just because he doesn't get in and out of his hips the way a guy like Gentry does. The way a guy like Kanai, who doesn't do it as well as Gentry, but he's got the length to make up for it. And then you got a guy like Vickers, who's a little bit of both. He's not as explosive out of the hips. He does turn really well. And in the combine, or when he's invited or potentially invited up there to do that, he's a guy who's going to look the part shifting. He's not going to look maybe the most explosive out of the break. Whereas Gentry is a guy who's going to look explosive turning the hips. He's going to look explosive out of the break. He's going to be low. He's going to look really smooth running the 40, you know, and I think that is the type of player who goes first round. At safety, I still, based on what you have heard, I think from a leadership standpoint, you don't play with Billy Bowman, even if there are guys who are more athletic than he.
Billy's starting. That's
exactly. Yeah. And I think we both ended up at this same point, maybe for different reasons. But for me, actually, you know what? I have always wanted to see what Peyton Bowen would look like playing Cheetah instead of Dolby and having a guy like RSJ in that Peyton Bowen spot, who's still a very sure tackler, who can still get the angle on a guy. So there's the mix up with a little RSJ Peyton Bowen as a 1A, 1B.
Nah, you got to give me your starters and your twos. Come on, man. Give me your starters. Who's your starting for? So you got Gentry
it's,
and Kanai.
It's Bowen. I'm too high on Bowen for not to
so
be Bowen.
So it's Bowman and Bowen.
Bowman and Bowen. Yeah.
Give me your twos.
Woody is a solid two. On the other side, let's see. Vickers is probably on the other side with Gentry. I think Vickers is going to have. He's the guy who needed just a year in the weight room, in my opinion. I'm gonna put RSJ. Just behind a Bowen. And I'm going to put. Man. I really liked your mention of Boganowski. I just don't think he is going to quite find a fit yet. I think he's a guy who could see some movement positionally, like with where he finally ends up. Who do I go behind Billy? Man, I'm gonna go Reggie Powers. Yeah, give me yours.
So first things first, Woody would not play corner for me. He's not in my top two. Woody's a guy who won't play Cheetah because Cheetah's a position that he won't get a high grade for the NFL, which is smart. If Woody's a third or fourth round corner, that's still a good payday. And, you know, they'll knock him a round or two or potentially three. If he's not a 4-6,
I just don't think he'll have the film for that, man.
If he's, well, I agree. That's why he's not in my top two. But yeah. Also, when you're at a school where you're at OU, you got to get to a point where you start to play your guys big numbers. So I'm gonna go Gentry. I liked what I a lot of people didn't like Kanai last year, but I did. There was a lot of things that I saw at the position where I saw improvements. I am actually gonna go with Kanai as well. But I'm gonna go Jacoby as my other two. I mean, as my two, man. I'm going
Yeah,
with
I forgot about
Jacoby. Just
Jacoby.
he's just 6'2". He's got what you really want. And again, I don't want I don't I want Woody to be a cheetah slash nickel slash safety in my defense. That's what I want him to do. And I think he'd have much better film. I think he'd be looked at as an alpha, but you just can't run trips to one side and leave Woody on the backside against the other team's X, and their X is an NFL dude, and hope Woody's gonna just hold up for the game. The SEC is that's what they do. Hype is gonna do that. LSU is going to do that. Alabama is going to like that's what those teams do. And so yeah, that fear for me hurts Woody. So I'll go Jacoby, and as my other two at corner, I might take the transfer. I like Malone. I like his size,
his
physicality.
We didn't talk about him a lot.
I like what he brings to the table. He's more of what we need in corners. And I believe it's a monkey see, monkey do situation. 6'2 corners, see 6'2 corners at OU having success. 6'2 corners want to go to OU, right? So if all of our dudes are 6'1, 6'2 and bigger, it's going to be make more sense for those guys to come. Safety, you got to go B&B at the ones. And then I'm going RSJ and Boggs at the twos. Boggs is a guy who I think is going to be early. He's going to have some busts. He's going to jump a second level route, and they're going to be running a three level route behind him. You know, they're going to be running like an in cut in a corner or a post, and he might, you know, bite. But he's a guy who's going to kill a screen. They're going to be running an off tackle, and he's going to destroy it. He's going to be a guy who's going to hit a lineman and get him off balance, and everyone's going to see it happen in the middle of the field. And he's a guy who wants to be great, right? So he's going to get coached up. He's a guy who by Texas might be a guy who you and I are saying, man, he's a guy they can depend on. And again, it's that ceiling, right? I think we have for literally decades got to the point where we're just like, please hold on or be good enough. And I think we're back at a point where we're like, screw that. You got to be a dog or you don't play. Like that is when, hey man, we're going to Death Valley to watch the LSU game. And we honestly don't know who's going to win. We honestly don't know if their receivers can just get loose because we honestly have dudes on our side of the ball. I think this is the year. I really do. Obviously they can show me otherwise. If we line up in that 30 front and we've got four backers and nobody is a hard edge defender looking like we can attack and confuse the quarterback, and we're just going to play that big ass zone with the deep cheetah. I would tell you that there's no way in heaven we're going to do that. I expect us to go 30-40, mix it up, generally have four, even if we're in the 30, one of the outsides is a hard edge and bring pressure, be multiple. I'd be surprised if we're not man across, especially earlier in the season, trying it out to see how the guys hold up. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we combo 2-1. I wouldn't be surprised if we combo to cloud, combo to sky, and rob certain areas of the field where we feel like they're going to be trying to take advantage of some flooding. And those are the situations, man, where you get a bunch of picks, you get a bunch of turnovers, and if guys do their jobs correct, you raise havoc. And so looking forward, we're gonna run three though. But that's BV. He's a three guy. So we'll see some cloud, we'll see some sky. We'll see two high roll into one or robber in different situations. But yeah, I think that too deep. So you had Powers, and you had I just don't to me, we've been talking about Sexton, we've been talking about McCullough, and yep. I don't want this to sound bad, but to me Woody is saying I'd rather be as a corner than be the position where I could really help the team and be an asset, which is a five pack, six pack guy. And let one of the longer, faster, more athletic outside guys. So we'll see. Maybe this year he's got what he needs. But the first time I see somebody run by him, I'm not going to be surprised.
Man, can I say – so I don't think he is that bad. When he is head up on a man in press, I think he is physical enough at the line of scrimmage. But watch him when he is shading to be to the outside. if guys get an inside release and create it where they've got leverage to now either take it upfield or go outside and they get him on his hip, good receivers with any kind of explosiveness get out of that. And I can't remember what game it was a year ago where it was just nothing but that. And it was to OU's detriment that that's kind of how they had him lining up. And it was basically a guy having room to do whatever he wanted to the inside of the field and then take it out. And Woody just does not have the explosiveness or the hip turn ability to keep up with that. Like, to me, a guy like you who was explosive in and out of cuts would have eaten a guy like that up.
For sure, 100%. Woody, I'm old. I don't want to talk, but like that was my strength.
Yeah,
I was very smart and very quick. Sure, like I'm here and then I'm there and then boom, I'm over here and you still over there. Woody. Yeah. He doesn't have extremely long arms. Long arms were my kryptonite. If you could touch me and I couldn't touch you, you was cooking. Yeah, but if you didn't have long arms, it wasn't too many people in America, by the way. There wasn't too many people got a jam on me. That wasn't very often. So
yeah.
I just think he's earned the right to say, I want a chance to play the position I want to play. So I don't want to make it sound like he's being a bad guy or a cancer. That's not the case. He's earned the right. He's been one of the best corners we've had in years. We've just upgraded the position. I just don't think just Damien's not looking at seniority, not looking at, you know what I'm saying, coaching and all that, or like, you know what I'm saying, like trust and all that, just saying the four. To me, he's not in that four. And I want to build a tradition and pedigree around at OU, you're a 6'1", 6'2" dude with long arms and you can turn and run. That's what LSU has created. And guys know I better fit that bill if I want to play that position. And I think leaving him there another year gives people the idea that a 5'11", 190-pound guy who is just a really good high school athlete and has some DB traits, he's not a superb DB prospect for playing on Sunday. So, but I think he could be a phenomenal. Again, I think he could play. What's the guy, you know, he's a comp for me. And it's crazy because he doesn't even play the position. He reminds me of the guy who is the nickel corner for the Chiefs who wanted to be an outside corner and get paid like an outside corner. And he used to get cooked, but as a nickel corner, he's the best nickel corner in the NFL. I forgot his name. He was one of the deciding factors in why San Francisco couldn't beat them in the Super Bowl.
Was he the guy who was there right before Tyrann Mathieu came the year after?
I don't remember. I mean, if you say his name, I'm like, yeah, it's him. I'm sure somebody who's a Sooner fan, because a lot of Sooner fans are Chiefs fans, but he's the nickel corner for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was an outside corner in his past, and because they make more money, and he was just a jag. He was that animal we talked about, right? That out the Oasis. He was a jag. Moved his tail to nickel. He has safety help. Man, he's the best nickel in the NFL. Mathis. I want to say maybe it's Mathis. Maybe his last name is Mathis. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that. But sure. I think that's what, because Woody, you're right. He's smart. He's physical. He can run. You just run away from him. And if you get him with a double move, you got him cooked. I think
to play in the NFL, you can't, the easy stuff like that can't get you.
You better go. They're going to play zone all day. There's a couple teams I still do it. But anyway. Yeah, man, I just want to ask you that before we left. I want to know, man. Let me tell you what this dang player is
I'm curious now. I'm looking right at 2020. I didn't realize Mathieu was there in 2020. Maybe he was after Mathieu.
No. He's the nickel corner right now.
Right now? Oh, okay.
He's the nickel corner right now. And his name is, I'm going to tell you his name. I mean, he's literally the best nickel in the NFL, and he killed us in the Super Bowl. Trent McDuffie.
Yep.
That's his name. 22. That's him. That is he. And he just got paid. Anyway, good episode, brother. Looking forward to doing specials and tight ends with you.
Let's go.
In the near future.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Well, as always, want to thank you guys for tuning in. Got some special little bonus stuff at the very end of this episode. Go check out OUinsider.com. Guys are doing it big over there. All the fall camp coverage and the season coverage is going to be incredible. credible. So be on the lookout for that. Got some other things in the works that they're working on. So go check it out, man. As always, Sooner Nation, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you soon.